Nick Rosen is Britain's leading expert in off-grid living. He is editor of www.off-grid.net. His book, How to Live Off-Grid, is published by Doubleday and in the UK. He says it's not about survivalism, but about getting by when economic times are tough. Well, now Rosen's site is being deluged by Americans who have lost their homes or fear they will. What was a lifestyle choice for many eco-conscious people may just become a necessity for many more. So, Nick, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Well, for those of us who take endless energy for granted, what is off-grid living?
Well, on a literal level, it's about living without mains energy, without mains power and mains water and sewage and, you know, all those services that we come to expect and depend upon in our busy modern lives. It also has a metaphorical meaning, which is about freedom, about just disconnecting and unplugging in the kind of mental or emotional sense and just finding your own space, which isn't part of the system.
Yes, I suppose. Well, now, how does that compare with, say, someone who is homeless and traveling about the country?
Well, you know, there's kind of layer of people who've been homeless for a long time, and that's kind of a life they've chosen or stumbled into. And then there's a kind of new class of homeless who, until very recently, own their homes. And everybody is truly homeless. Yeah, they're off-grid. But there is a way of being off-grid in comfort and luxury and, you know, making it a positive choice rather than in any way a kind of sense of deprivation. And that's the meaning I'm concentrating on. So people who feel they've lost everything because they've had their homes foreclosed and repossessed, as is happening all across the United States at the moment, are getting in touch and looking for advice on how to live in RVs or cars or build a cabin on a back lot that maybe they've, you know, hung on to through the bad times, or talking about going out and buying a couple of acres in East Texas and building some kind of a shanty on it. And, you know, it's happening. It's a real phenomenon.
Well, you know, I hate to tell you, but I think I've done most of those. I did build a cabin off on some land and lived without electricity for many years, and I've also lived in an RV with a solar panel up on the rooftop, and they were some of the best years of my life, definitely in touch with nature, with the sky, with the times, and the people around me. So I it's not necessarily suffering, is it?
It sure isn't, and I don't know when you did that, but in the last few years, it really has become, you know, high-tech and, you know, highly comfortable. Just about every gadget that you can imagine now has a low energy mobile variety that you can plug into a car cigar lighter. And, you know, since the arrival of the internet, you can now work and make a living if you're a knowledge worker just about anywhere. So the idea that you might be kind of trapped or stuck in the wild somewhere just isn't true anymore. I kind of came across this whole phenomenon when I bought a very modest little shepherd's hut up in the mountains in Spain. And I did it just for my sanity because I wanted somewhere to just unplug. And a few years later, I discovered that it was something, you know, that what I was doing was living off-grid. And then the internet came along and I was able to be a journalist, which is what I do for a living, up in my mountain, which was great. So you could be there and not there at the same time. You know, you could plug and unplug at will.
Well, could you tell us a little bit about the off-grid scene in the UK?
Yeah, it's less developed than in North America. It's a combination of a bunch of different kinds of phenomena. There's the 70s hippie movement. There's the 80s and 90s anti-roads protesters, who are really major social phenomenon here. They were, there were some people called the New Age Gypsies, which was a huge convoy of people who lived in vans. And they got taken apart by the right-wing Tory governments in the 80s and scattered to the four winds. But they've slowly reformed and came back as campaigners against the big motorway building program, and kind of lay down in front of the motorways and hid in trees and stopped the building from taking place. Anyway, that group, that kind of ideological group, has been at the forefront of fighting for the right to live off-grid in Britain. And along with them, there's also people who can't afford a home at a time when houses in Britain cost something like 6 to 8 times average annual income. So, you know, house prices, you may think they're sky high where you are, but over here, it's virtually impossible for people to get onto the housing ladder without a huge chunk of money, usually from their parents. So that's the second category, people who just cannot afford to buy a place and don't want to spend $300 to $500 a week, you know, sharing an apartment with somebody who steals their milk from the fridge. So there's those two categories. Then there's a kind of your middle class green liberal who is doing it for softer ideological reasons, you know, part of society rather than the Rhodes protesters who are really kind of anarchists. And finally, you know, there's a very luxurious level of off-grid living. People I came across when I drove around Britain just looking and meeting and finding out how it was done, there's people who build luxury homes off-grid. And the same kind of phenomenon is true in America, except there's just lots more of them. And I'm hoping very much to come over and start meeting you guys as well.
Well, what kind of stories are you hearing from Americans now? I know your website's getting pretty busy as the economy tumbles and as people are going through foreclosures.
Yeah, they range hugely in terms of the people who've actually lost their homes. They range from a single guy who lost his job, lost his house, and is now sleeping in his car. You know, he's managed to get employment, but he doesn't see why he should, you know, waste his money on another home. He's kind of happy in his car, really. He's worked out where he can overnight without any interaction with the law enforcement authorities, to a family who had a really luxurious life until the breadwinner in the family lost his main client. I think it was a design company. And all of a sudden, they found their high-spending ways got them into trouble. They missed the mortgage payments. They lost the home. But they had a little back lot they bought when times were good, like 10 acres. And they've described in great detail on the website exactly how they changed their life. They went there in an RV. They bought $500 worth of stuff from the hardware store and just set about rebuilding their lives and have done so. There's the Dervais family from Pasadena who have been living off-grid for a few years now in a suburb. What's interesting about them is they're not out in some rural outback. They're, you know, they're right on the edge of town in Pasadena. All sorts, really.
I'm picturing some of these unfortunate people as pioneers of a sort because Americans have been, well, just too luxurious with their use of energy. Maybe, do you think some new products and markets might lead us to become more economical with energy, with much lower expectations, just because of the developments that these people will make?
Yeah, I think that it's pretty miserable, you know, what's happening at the moment. But the positive side, the silver lining, is that maybe they are showing us the way to the future. At a time when, you know, energy prices are skyrocketing, food prices are now skyrocketing, I think that we might be entering a really long-term period of leaner times. And I don't mean some kind of disaster or chaos or catastrophe, but just a recognition that the rest of the world is catching up with us. And, you know, we're not entitled to cheap energy for the rest of eternity. So it's kind of like a coming to terms with the reality of the planet and finding that it really ain't that bad, that, you know, perhaps you could think of it as small is the new big, you know, smaller home, a smaller car, you know, maybe eat less, and maybe that's a good thing, and we'll all come out of it as better people.
Could you give us 3 good tips, perhaps, for our listeners of what to do when the power goes out or if you want to live off-grid? What sorts of things might they find in your book?
Well, hard to know where to start, really. One idea is maybe just get yourself a little bit off-grid ready. There's a great book by Canadian Thomas Homer Dixon called The Upside of Down, in which he envisages a future which is perhaps, you know, perhaps a bit more bleak than the one I personally can envisage. And he talks about the need to be resilient as a society and on the individual household level. And so perhaps one thing you can do is to just get off-grid ready in your own home, which means by which I do not mean having a stack of canned food in the basement. I just mean get a solar panel, get some really large receptacle for collecting rainwater and a battery for storing that energy from the solar panel. Perhaps take your spare room off grid and just get a sense of what it's like. And what you'll find is that you start noticing the weather more and just being aware more of how much energy you're using and just naturally becoming a bit more economical. So maybe that's step one. And then step two is, I guess, I recommend people go camping, but not on a campsite. You know, get in the car, or jump on a train, take your camping gear, and just try and find somewhere that's a bit secluded and either get permission or try and get away with it without permission. And just camp out for a couple of days without the usual support systems of a campsite. And you'll find it's not that hard, and it really can be quite pleasant.
Well, now, you're leading me to a couple of questions about your book. The first one is, how can people get it? And the second is, are you going to come out with a North American edition?
Well, that's nice of you to ask. You can get it by my website, and you're welcome to order it from anywhere in the world. And I sign it and personally go down to the post office and put it in the post to you. And I try and keep the price as low as possible. I'm really hoping to come out and do a kind of North American equivalent and travel around Canada and the United States and meet people who are living off-grid and describe how they're doing it and how they're doing it lawfully, because there's all sorts of zoning restrictions and how to get around those issues and just get a sense of what kind of community is living off-grid now in the States and try and spread the word. I'm talking to a couple of publishers on the East Coast and very much hoping that something will come of it.
And can you give us your website for people?
Sure, it's www.offgrid.net, off-grid.net.
Well, that's really great, Nick. I appreciate it. Nick, you are the man when it comes to expertise in living off the matrix. Thanks for talking with us today.
Very nice of you to have me on. Thank you.
This is Radio EcoShock. Light up your iPod or computer with tons of free green audio from our website at www.ecoshock.org. That's ECO, shock like an electric shock, .org.